Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornette with you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And joining us right now, former Alabama gymnast Tia Kiyaku. Tia, thanks for the time.
Thank you guys for having me.
So you decided to share your experience at Alabama on social media, and you responded to a statement made by Bama Gymnastics with, "Do we really stand together? The program that allowed the assistant coach to make a racist, quote-unquote, joke and ask a group of black girls, quote, what is this, the back of the bus, allowed gymnasts to say the N-word and much more. You can't stand with us and allow injustices to happen." So I'm curious what the response was to you posting that.
I have been overwhelmed with a lot of positive responses, and I'm so glad that I know that there's a lot of people that are standing by me and they're hearing my voice. And I'm just happy that I've gotten a lot of support.
Tia, I am absolutely mortified for you, but I'm not surprised. Every one of us of color has had some sort of experience. Where I am surprised, though, is at the fact that what we've come to know of locker rooms and teams, for the most part, that has been the unifying environment where we might be different, but because of being exposed to each other, we start to become more comfortable with each other and understand each other, and walls get broken down as we chase a common goal. That clearly was not your experience. So my natural question is, did you have any allies? Was there anybody that had a voice alongside you to stand up to this nonsense that you were had to deal with so often?
Well, while I was there, I did have the other two black girls that were on the team. They did stand by me, but as I took more serious actions, like talking to Title IX and talking to the head of diversity and inclusion for Alabama, it kind of seemed like they were silent. So while we were on the team just talking about it, it seemed as if they had the same issues and they both had the same problems. When it came down to it, I feel like they were afraid to speak out.
The specific incident you talked about. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And I just want to point out that the team realized that there were issues because we have had multiple team meetings called by the seniors to discuss these things.
So it's interesting that it would be the seniors calling the meetings and not coaches and administrators or people within the leadership. The incident you spoke about specifically was that you and the two other African-American girls on the team happened to be working on vault drills together, and somebody said, look, all the black girls are on the same event, and a coach walked over and said, what is this, the back of the bus? Obviously, a reference to Rosa Parks. You also said that beyond use of a racial slur, there was just implicit bias, stereotyping, statements with underlying racism. And all those things grow, right, and create a situation where you feel like maybe you're not on the same side with the people that are teammates or coaches. Why do you think it was seniors on the team that had to call those meetings and discuss the issues instead of anyone above?
I think that it was the seniors to call the meetings because we had a retreat around the end of September or mid-September. And that's when we brought it to the attention of the team. And so up until then, it's kind of a hard situation to talk about because I was a new person on the team. I had just joined and I had just transferred. So it was hard for me to speak up because I didn't want to, one, be stereotyped into the angry black woman. And also I didn't want to ruffle feathers, and I had just stepped on the campus. So I think that's why it mainly stayed inside of the team.
Which is just an absolute shame that you had to be that conflicted and at that type of crossroad, not to be able to feel like you could just say something. Coach Dana Duckworth provided a statement, one that feels baseless knowing how little action she took. Or correct me if I'm wrong, knowing that these meetings were held by players, it doesn't seem like she was very proactive in looking out for you during this time. Looking back on what she did or didn't do, how do you feel about that?
I think as a coach, she did not look out for me. I think that she dropped the ball in that area because when it was brought to her attention, I felt as if she tried to divert the situation and talk about other things that were not irrelevant. She was focusing on certain things that didn't make sense to focus on, and she didn't directly focus on the injustices that were happening on her in her team and on the program.
We're talking to Tia Kiyaku, a former gymnast at Alabama who's spoken out about what she considered some of the underlying racial prejudices and incidents during her time with the program. I noticed you tweeted about the athletic director at Alabama blocking your mom on Twitter, who said she hadn't been particularly active or said very much. It feels to me like a very symbolic move and sort of maybe a microcosm for the bigger issue, which is, let me handle this with silence, or let me handle this by shutting it down instead of engaging with it. I'm curious, because I think that that's, I'm hoping something that changes from this moment going forward. I feel like people are more apt to speak out. I'm seeing more people like you talk about their experiences and say, hey, cool statement, but that's not actually what I lived. Do you feel like being able to talk about it and the support that you said you have gotten will actually change things? Or do you feel like, you know, if the athletic director is blocking people and the coach is not really engaging, those are the barriers to meaningful change for the next couple gymnasts and the next people that show up?
I feel like that those are the barriers that are going to hinder this situation from changing and having change within the program. And honestly, I feel like that I can speak out because I did leave. I know a lot of athletes are afraid to speak out because they are trying to protect their scholarship or trying to protect their starting spot. And that's the harsh reality of it. And I do think that Greg Burns blocking my mother is very, very symbolic, because just like how he has now silenced my mother's voice from showing on her Twitter feed, that's how I feel like Alabama gymnastics silenced my voice in general within the program.
Yeah, which is, I mean, this is just all sounds awful, and what an indictment of this program. So, Tia, it's very clear what your experience was like as an athlete. Dare I ask, what was your experience like as a student on the campus of Alabama?
I absolutely love Alabama. Up until these situations, it was the best decision that I've made. I've met so many great people. I've made so many great friends. In regards to that, I would not change it for the world.
It's interesting. I saw Tia, Alabama gymnast Tia Kiyaku, with us. One of the current, I believe she's a current Alabama gymnast, responded to you: before you read the allegations, please remember there are two sides to every story. Please respect the facts that you were not there firsthand to experience exactly what was happening. Please have an open mind, as we all make mistakes and we continue to learn from them every day. And your response to that was that she was not there because she wasn't on the team yet. That to me is groupthink, right? That's defense of the institution that's meaningful to you. The fact that she wasn't there means I want to defend this thing that I care about, which is this gymnastics program, even though I wasn't there and I don't know what the facts are. And I think that's what I worry about the most. And it's with, you know, police officers who defend the actions of their colleagues that are wrong. It's with people who are defensive about Penn State or Baylor or Michigan State, right? When the defense of an institution is so important to someone that when they very blatantly see immorality, they don't call it out because they're worried about what it will say about them for being a part of it.
Exactly.
What have you, did you talk to her after that exchange? Because she made an apology afterwards that didn't seem that much better.
I have not talked to her yet. I reached out, but I haven't gotten, she reached out to me, but I haven't gotten the opportunity to sit down and process and, respond to her. But that shows to me that, there's a problem within the team. And also including Makari's statement that she put out. Now that I'm seeing that Dana or whoever, they're putting out, they're telling the gymnasts something that's not true. There was a statement by Makari saying that I decided to step away from the team and that Alabama gymnastics took these situations very seriously, and they handled it immediately. But the truth is, I was told by Dana and the diversity and inclusion lady for Alabama athletics to step away from the team. So I don't know how Dana or anyone else made it seem like, but it was not my choice to step away from the team. It felt like they decided that for me. And regards to Alabama Gymnastics taking immediate action, if my mother and I didn't reach out to Title IX and the head of diversity and inclusion for Alabama, there wouldn't have been all of those conversations and some of those diversity trainings. And also the investigation, that was all up to me, and that had nothing to do with Alabama Gymnastics.
Right.
They asked me if I wanted to proceed with the meetings and the investigation. So to hear that somehow Alabama has said that they did that is very heartbreaking, because it was all on my back that any of this happened, any of the conversations, the trainings, everything.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, the sort of power dynamics that allow for institutions to claim in hindsight that they were proactive or that they reacted differently to a situation when the people who were, you know, actually experiencing it tell a different story. T, I'm really impressed with you for speaking out and for being so eloquent on this topic and for being willing to put your neck out there. It's really important right now, and I'm glad that enough people are supporting you. Stick with it.
Thanks, Tia.
Thank you. I just want to open the door to have conversation and eventually change so that the next girl can feel free to talk out, and the next Black girl can feel free can feel good in a free space that's supposed to protect them on their university. So, and I am so happy that you guys have given me the opportunity to shed light on a situation and give me a bigger platform to speak. So I thank you guys for that too.
Well, you handled the platform well. Thanks so much, Tia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tia.
Thank you.